Good morning. Blessings to each of you in Christ's name this morning. I guess I would just ask that you remember me in your prayers, which I'm sure you will. And I don't know, you might get out of church early today. I guess maybe me and Kevin were both thinking to shorten things up, and so maybe it'll be really short. I do have something that's been on my mind, I guess. With the prayer, the fasting that we've been looking forward to here this morning, and trust that you all have been praying, and I guess one thing that was on my mind was brotherhood. And it feels like a huge subject. It is a huge subject. And actually a subject that I have a lot of room to grow in. And so what I say this morning is, I guess maybe what I would like to work toward, to believe, to do better in. I'm going to call today's message, Brotherhood, God's Fortress. So God, in His great wisdom, has, through the church, has protected His people, and His people have thrived, I guess. Over the years, there's been, you know, God's word has never changed. His church is ongoing, and the Bible says that it will be to the end of time, that there will be a remnant. There will be victory. There will be a people of God, and I'm just very thankful to be a part of a church where we belong, and we look into God's word, and we study it, and we apply it to our lives. So I have been very blessed just over the years, and I just thank you for what y'all do, the part that you play in my life. Why, for what purpose did God, I'm not sure what the right word is, put in place the church? We know that the church is God's, Jesus' bride, the bride of Christ. So the church is created to bring glory to God. And through it all, it is an avenue for us to have protection, to have unity, and that we all can get to heaven. And hopefully we do it as God intends it to be. I do think as humans we mess up very regularly. But the first thing that I wanted to just point out, I think we'll start in Romans 12. I'm going to read verse 10. It says, to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So I guess my first point would be that the church or the brotherhood is a place that we can care and be cared for. Both the, you know, toward us and toward others. Let's look at another verse in Hebrews 13:3. So I have a lot of just little scriptures here and there. I guess if you can turn to them, that would be great. it doesn't work out. Just listen. Hebrews 13:3. In this verse, what I'd like to see is that we put ourselves into others' shoes. So let's read that, verse 3. It says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." This, I guess, I'm not sure if I'm taking this out of context or not. In that verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue." So not necessarily. None of us are in bonds today. As in, physically in bonds. Some of us are in bonds. Maybe spiritually. Maybe, you know, like Ernie mentioned earlier, we do have among us, we have lots of needs. And even in my own heart, I have how many needs? Seems like, you know, if you get started on your needs, it's kind of hard to quit for a while. So maybe we could view that as the bonds. And that we are in bonds with them. So it mentions suffering adversity in whatever way it might be. And God wants us to be human. He doesn't want us to be God. That's why He made us humans. But as humans, we have problems. And as humans, God wants us to forbear. He wants us to forgive and to bear each other's burdens. It is also, the church is also a place of openness and sharing. I would like to see James 5:16 for this one. James has some to say about relationships among brethren. And in verse 16, he says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What I would like to see in this verse, or to point out, is that ye might be healed. Do we actually pray for our brothers for the purpose of liberating them or helping them to rise above whatever they are struggling with? It seems like nowadays, it just, with the busyness of life, there's a lot of things to struggle with. And can we take some time out of our day to help our brothers in prayer? Wouldn't we be a stronger church if, instead of rushing off to do my daily thing, if I would just be quiet for a while in the morning and remember some of my brothers? And if they would do that for us and just get that helping each other through prayer. So the devil would like us to think that making our needs known to other people, exposing ourselves, maybe our thoughts, our difficulties, whatever we face, he would love us to think that that is going to somehow hamper our, I don't know, maybe our effectiveness, or even make us look just really bad. That's one of the first tricks Satan tries to pull, I feel. And so we don't open up and we don't share our struggles. I guess I've I have some questions in my mind whether it's wise to share all our struggles. I guess you can answer that question for yourself. But if people know that we're struggling and we don't want to make life look like all struggles, of course, but it is real. And sometimes we do need help. We need support. And so through that sharing, we can find a peace in knowing that we are not the only one fighting the battles that we fight. There are others that are fighting the same battle, just through a different, little bit different way. Okay, another thing I wanted to point out on that was that the purpose, the reason that we should be open with our struggles is not only for ourselves. I feel like the more useful a person is in church, we like to be used. We like to be used of God to help encourage people here and there and whatever way we can. And so it gives opportunity for that to happen. In some cases, it may max us out. We might be called to address something that we feel like is just totally above our capacity and our ability. But I think it is very important that we make ourselves available to be used. So that is also a benefit of just openness, being willing to, it's kind of like the feet washing idea, just to do things for others, to be able to do their dirty work, dirty work is not necessarily a good way of saying it, but gets the idea across. It is a place of support. The brotherhood, if it wasn't for the brotherhood, where would you be? Where would I be? I know for myself, I would probably be very different than what I am today if I did not have my brothers and sisters. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 4:10. We should seek to build, to restore. And in this verse, I think we will see some of that. Let's read verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 4. It says, "For if they fall, and one lift up, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." I guess recently I was reminded of just the huge blessing that we have in having not only friends, but friends that actually think and believe in very similar ways to what we do. One of our new neighbors just moved in several months ago, and she, we've got to know her somewhat. Her husband's currently gone to bring more of their things up from where they lived, and she stopped in to just ask if we could help her unload some of this stuff, and she just made the comment that she doesn't have anybody to help her. And praise God that we do. We have not only one or two or three, we have tens and maybe even hundreds of people that would help us if we make the need known. So, support. And then we also have the more emotional side of this, where as life, you know, it's just sometimes it feels like it maxes us out, and we maybe cannot hold up to it mentally, emotionally. Yeah, we have needs, and so we can discuss that kind of thing with our brothers. So let's be there for each other. Let's finish in verse 11 and 12 here of chapter 4. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This threefold cord, I don't know if it has anything to do with three there or not. I guess we could choose to look at it as myself and others and the Lord. I don't know if that was purpose in there or not, but I think it can be viewed that way. Let's go on to John. I have some verses in 1 John 4:20. It says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" I'm going to point out the word hate here. What is hate? I guess there are different levels of hate. Hatred looks, at times it's very, very clear that somebody has hate in their life. And normally, we don't make it that clear. I feel like we have, you know, we know what's acceptable. We know what, not sure if I should say what we can get by with, but we do. But there are still problems. There are still things that we struggle with about other people, about our brothers. One of them, I think, is simply saying good things about others. That's not the problem. The problem is saying unkind things about others. But I think this does come down to somewhat of a hatred. I'm going to refer back to Ecclesiastes 4:10. It says, "If they fall, the one will lift him up his fellow." And our first tendency as a human, if somebody falls, is to step on them. And we see, hopefully that is not what we, you know, what we experience in brotherhood. Hopefully we're all waiting for the chance to forgive somebody, to pick them up, to encourage them. And I think we are in many ways when there is falling. I would say that almost without fail, the rest of the church, you know, roots for that person and would just love to see things work out, love to see that relationship with God flourish. And hopefully that is the attitude that we have, instead of one of, you know, putting them down even further, saying that, you know, this person is just, you know, I've had it. He crossed me once and he crossed me twice and I'm done with it. Hopefully that is not part of our experience. So along with hating our brother, I don't feel like we have a problem of doing outright hateful things. But in Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." So our words have wonderful, we have wonderful opportunity with our words. We can use our words to encourage, to lift up, and to redeem situations. But our words also have, I would say, as much, if not more, possibility of doing the opposite. And I say more because we are born with a sinful human nature. And it is our first tendency. A lot of times I don't think, and once again, we know how to control our words. We know how to not maybe person to person say something that would actually hurt them or trample them down. But what about secondhand? Are we careful enough with our words that I can pretty quickly talk at least partly negative about somebody fairly easily, and we just kind of create an atmosphere, an uncomfortable and unwanted atmosphere for whoever that person is, and it happens subconsciously. So, you know, can we make that effort to say positive things? I've been fortunate enough to hear some of that recently, and I just thought about it when I heard it. Maybe somebody that I didn't know, and you hear that they're just a blessing. And the first time you see that person, you know that they're a blessing. You don't even have to spend time with them to really find out that they're a blessing. It's a jump start. You already know that about them. And it's the very same way with the negative side. Maybe me and my humanity and my selfishness, because of some attitude I had, view somebody through the wrong light. And I share that with somebody else. And it was my fault. It wasn't even the other person's fault. And then the first time they see that person, they view him in a negative light just because of some problem that I had. I think it's a big thing. Satan would like us to, when we fail, he would like us to just withdraw. You know, I shut off just all communication to others, to receiving encouragement. And probably that's one of the quickest lies that we will swallow, sadly. But it is not true that when we fail, that people are against us. How have you might wonder, like, how can you build people up? How can you encourage? How can you help a situation? I think one way is to draw from experience. We have experienced low times, hard times in the past. And I can think back and think of some very building very positive things that, you know, people encouraged me and how it was, and you can do that for others as well. There's other ways that you can, but that is one. The church should be a place of forgiveness. For this one, we're already pretty much there. Ephesians 4:32 says, "To be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So within our brotherhood, if we want to be forgiven, and I think we all do, we must forgive. So just a wonderful reminder to myself there. The church or the brotherhood is a place of safety, should be a place of safety and a place of relaxation. I'm not sure if that's the right word or not, but just a place that we can feel loved, we can feel wanted, that we know that everybody is going to view us, give us the benefit of the doubt. We're going to give everybody else the benefit of the doubt. And if I have problems, I would like to have that addressed as well. But just a trust there. So doctrinally, it should be a place of safety. I feel like we have so many different ways of today with, you know, our communication and just the exposure that we have to sin, to false doctrines, maybe even just slightly false doctrine. Our brotherhood and the amount of communication that we have can help to make that, to curb that, to keep out what we don't want. Monetarily is another way that I think it should be a safe place. I choose to give my brothers the right, and maybe even ask for their input on what I do financially. Is this wise? Is it unwise? And just through that humble spirit, we can make great progress, because money is one of those things that God says, you know, we should have great care in, because it is deceitful. Another thing that it is a place of community and unity. So if you'll go to 1 Peter, we'll read chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. First Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." To me, it's just a beautiful picture. As we look at a brotherhood, people, you know, one, not just one person, but two and three, and having close interactions, not saying that we're always going to view things 100% correctly or similarly. We are and do have different, very different opinions on many different things, but this is okay. It says to be of one mind. So in what way can we be of one mind? If we have that same, the same goal, which we very regularly, I need to evaluate what my goal is. What do I do? Where do I go? What is God's will? And we can be in one mind just simply in striving to just be useful to God and to be attentive to His Spirit, the Word of God, having compassion one of another. These are just some of the ways listed in the verse here. Have compassion, love the brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. And yes, there will be evil rendered at times within the brotherhood, or we interpret it as evil, and so it's pretty easy to just to return something of similar character there. What do you think when the word brotherhood is used? For many of us, we've had in the past very difficult situations arise out of the brotherhood. So does it remind us of just our shortcomings, of pain? And basically, you know, it makes us act like a snail. They're going to just retract back into their shell. So do we when we hear the word brotherhood or whatever, think of that term, do we just kind of draw ourselves in to protect ourselves? Or is it a word that brings feeling of compassion, of people that have helped us through issues, togetherness, knowing that we are protected, that the devil, we can fight against the devil effectively. Is that what comes to our mind? And I hope that it is. I hope it's the kind of a feeling that we want to be part of. And sadly, there are many many things in today's world that will work against us wanting to be part of a brotherhood. And I think, well, I know that it is the devil at work in very small and subtle ways. And let's ask God for strength to see where we can do better at brotherhood. And even in like our prayer time today, I feel like we are praying for some needs, some specific needs among us. But at the same time, can we pray that God would show us what we can do? We ask God for his direction, I guess, and that his spirit would just be alive in our hearts. As far as prayer goes, I wanted to add something to our prayer time, and I don't know, I think we might split up in some smaller groups today instead of the normal prayer group sizes. But I would encourage you to, whoever you're with, ask them a few very specific questions. You know, how can I pray for you? And hopefully it's somebody that we're not used to asking that to. I have, you know, this is probably normal, but we have our group of friends that we kind of know what they're struggling with, but there are also people in our group that we don't know. We might know their face and we know their some surface things about them, but what do they actually struggle with? And along with that, let's be willing to actually share something worth praying about. To be vulnerable. Tell your partner what you faced this last week. And I think through communication like that, we can become stronger. So I would just encourage you to do that. Make part of your prayer time not only prayer and support for the specific needs that we have, but that it could be a time of connecting friend with friend. So that's all I have. Y'all can all stand for prayer.